I'm Fred Martino. Health officials say they've identified at least seven people who appear to have contracted COVID-19 after participating in the Wisconsin primary election. Meantime, Democrats in Congress are trying to prevent a potential disaster in November with a bill that would provide funding so that every state could have mail-in and early voting options. But Republicans are fighting the bill, including President Donald Trump, who spoke out against the bill in a Fox interview.
They had things, levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again.
Of course, some say providing more voting options is not a partisan issue. Next on Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, call in with your questions for New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver after NPR News. This is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. I'm Fred Martino. In just a moment, we'll be taking your phone calls for our guest, New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. She'll be talking about elections during a pandemic, and you can call right now at 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. We look forward to your questions, and we'll be getting to those in just a moment. First, some breaking news. You may have already read this on krwg.org. You can see much more information about this on our website. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham today has made the decision at the request of Gallup's mayor to lock down the city of Gallup until noon on Monday. This means that residents have been told to stay inside unless there is an urgent matter related to their health or safety or welfare. It also means that businesses in Gallup have been ordered to close at 5 o'clock in the evening, and they are not permitted to reopen until 8 o'clock in the morning. Again, this lockdown of Gallup, ordered by Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, takes place immediately, and it is in effect until noon on Monday. McKinley County has 30% of the COVID-19 cases in the state, and the lockdown was ordered in order to mitigate the continued spread of COVID-19 in Gallup. This news coming, of course, just as some restrictions have been loosened statewide. We will have much more information on this as it becomes available. And as I said, on our website at krwg.org, you will see lots of information about the decision to lock down the city of Gallup until Monday at noon. Well, now I am so pleased to have with us live today our Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse Oliver. Maggie, it's so great to have you with us.
Well, Fred, it is a pleasure to be with you. And I just want to say I have an extremely special place in my heart for Las Cruces and Doniana County. Love everybody down there, and want to just send my best out to everybody who's, as we all are, struggling through this difficult time.
Yes, it is. It is a struggle. I know in your work life, beyond the struggle that we're talking about in terms of social distancing, doing a lot of phone calls and video conferences, you have another struggle because people are extremely worried about the ability to conduct elections during the pandemic. I know that you have gotten a lot of requests for absentee ballots for our primary election in June. Tell us about that. Update us on that.
Sure. Well, as you know, 27 of the state's county clerks and I had originally petitioned the Supreme Court to allow us to conduct the election completely by mail to really reduce the spread of COVID-19 or the potential spread during the voting process. And unfortunately, the court said that it didn't have the authority to make that decision, but did order us to mail applications for an absentee ballot to every registered Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian who can participate in the primary. So even before we started mailing those applications out yesterday, We have been urging folks, as you mentioned, to vote absentee in this election, really to stay home. Don't leave the safety and comfort of your home to vote unless you absolutely have to. And as a result, we've already had well over 71,000 applications for an absentee ballot applied for as of yesterday. And, of course, that number just keeps growing every day. And, incidentally, that is a record number for a primary election. And it's more absentee votes than were cast in the entire state in the general election of 2018.
Wow, that's amazing. Again, folks can go to nmvote.org, and that will take you to the Secretary of State website, and you can request an absentee ballot. But even if you don't request a ballot online, an application to do so will automatically be mailed to folks. As you said, the mailing is already started, but this is only because it's for the primary. It's only for major party voters. So you mentioned Republican, Democrat, and Libertarian, correct?
That's right. As you know, Fred, in New Mexico, we have what's called a closed primary election, which means that for the parties to nominate their candidates for the general election ballot in November, only registered Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians can participate in this particular election. I should mention, since we're talking live today on Friday the 1st, that there is still time for folks who are either not registered or who would like to update a voter registration to one of the major parties in order to participate. To do so, and the deadline for that is this coming Tuesday, May 5th. And for those who don't know, you mentioned our voter information portal, nmvote.org. Anybody with a current or expired New Mexico driver's license or state ID can register to vote or update a voter registration through that nmvote.org portal. So I just want to make sure folks who are listening, if you thought maybe you weren't going to have a chance to participate in this primary, there is still plenty of time today and over the weekend to get registered to vote.
Okay. And I did get an email from a listener, Jean, in Las Cruces, who said that she was having some problems with the online portal. Are things going okay, to your knowledge, right now?
So the portal is working fine.
Okay.
There are a few issues that spring up. Just to flag for folks out there, if you experience one of these issues, sometimes if you're using a browser that it doesn't like, you can have trouble getting in. And I would encourage folks, if you're experiencing those issues and you're not using the Google Chrome browser, that seems to be the most reliable browser to log in. And occasionally, we have some conflicts between the motor vehicle records and the voter records. In other words, you know, sometimes a date or a number is transposed, and so that also could cause an issue for a person to get into the portal. If you get that kind of an error message, call our office at 505-827-3600 or send an email to sos.elections@state.nm.us, and we will get that resolved for you so that you can go ahead and go about your business on the portal.
That's great to hear. And it is, as I mentioned, I've used the portal, very easy to use to request that absentee ballot. And we're fortunate in New Mexico that we have this at any time that we're able to request an absentee ballot. Some states, you cannot do that. You cannot request an absentee ballot for any reason. But in New Mexico, we're permitted to do that. So this has come in as a very important element of our voting system right now with this situation where many people, especially those who are immunocompromised, don't obviously want to go to a polling place. And so it's really an important thing. I want to get to our callers, but I quickly just want to ask you about that before I get to the callers. The urgency of this being taken care of, and unfortunately, it looks like the only remedy might be the courts, because we are not seeing action in Congress to ensure that in every state people can vote by mail. In Congress, as you know, Democrats have been trying to advance a bill to provide funding for every state to offer vote by mail and to offer early voting, another thing that we have in New Mexico that many states don't have, in order to reduce the danger.
Right. And, you know, I and my colleagues in our National Association of Secretaries of State have definitely been working with our federal representatives. I can tell you that our delegation here in New Mexico on both the Senate and House side is 100% committed to trying to pass this kind of legislation so that every voter in the country has equal access to the ballot and safe access to the ballot this year. As well as that important funding that you mentioned, it's going to be very critical for New Mexico in particular to receive this funding because we received an initial amount of $4 million in the last coronavirus relief package that was passed by Congress a few weeks ago, and that is going to pay for most of the cost, the additional cost, I should say, for this primary election in terms of the additional postage, the additional personal protective equipment that we are going to be providing for poll workers and voters, but it will not, it's not going to get us to the general election. And as you know, Fred, all the scientists and experts are saying we may have an even stronger reoccurrence in November. And so we are working very hard collectively as secretaries of state, as well as I am here with our congressional delegation to make sure that we do get that additional funding because New Mexico is desperately going to need it for the general election.
Maggie Toulouse Oliver is our Secretary of State in New Mexico. She is joining us today on Voice of the Public, and we would love to hear from you. Our number is 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. Mark has been patiently holding. Mark, your question.
Yes, thank you for taking our questions. My concern is the integrity of my ballot. Las Cruces is handled by the El Paso Postal Plant. They have an extremely dismal record of handling mail, losing mail, delaying mail. How can you assure me that this isn't going to happen? How can I be sure my vote isn't going to get lost or tossed?
Okay, Maggie, your thoughts on that. Thank you, Mark.
Well, Mark, I am so glad that you asked that question, and it's incredibly natural to have that concern. And I am aware of the issues and challenges with postal delivery down in your neck of the woods. So a couple of things. First and foremost, I and my colleagues around the country have been in regular dialogue with the Postmaster General's office, and we here in New Mexico are speaking with our local postmasters first and foremost, to make sure that they are up to the task of handling this. We have been given many assurances that making sure that election mail is getting delivered efficiently and timely is at the top of their priority list right now. Number two, we have a great tool, again, on that portal that we've been talking about, Fred, the nmvote.org portal. Mm-hmm. When you apply for an absentee ballot, and when that application is received by the clerk, you will be able to check the status of your, not only your application, but your ballot. So if you log into that portal, you will see whether or not your application's been received, whether or not your ballot has been sent to you in mail, and then whether or not once you've mailed it or dropped it back with your clerk, whether or not the clerk has received that ballot. So you'll be able to track, the status of your ballot at all times. If for some reason you are not getting your ballot in the mail or you are not seeing that that ballot has gotten back to your county clerk's office, any voter can go to an in-person polling location and request a replacement ballot. So we have many fail-safe tracking mechanisms and fail-safes built into the system so that you can be sure, Mark, that your vote absolutely does count.
That is so great to hear. And Maggie, you may be getting a lot of these questions because, interestingly, that was our first question on Facebook, too. Jamie basically had the same question. How can you guarantee that my ballot is going to be processed if it's in the mail, that it won't be lost or thrown away. And it's great to know that folks can track this. Marvin wrote in on our feedback email with a different question related to security in terms of mail-in ballots. He is asking, with absentee ballots, do you make sure that people don't vote twice?
Yes, absolutely. When you are issued a ballot, when the county clerk puts that ballot in the mail to you, your voter record in the system is flagged as having been sent an absentee ballot. And when that ballot comes back to the county clerk's office, it is flagged as having been received. So it's not possible for somebody else to, vote or for somebody to vote twice, because we keep track of every single voter transaction, including ballots issued and ballots received. It's all live 100% of the time. Now, if there's ever any kind of a failure in the system, computers are computers, right? And if there were ever to be some sort of issue where that data could not be updated live, that's where provisional ballots come into play. And what a county clerk would do is issue a provisional ballot in that case. And then when they are canvassing and certifying the election, they will double check to make sure that a ballot was not cast twice before they count that.
Okay, and if you have a question for Maggie Toulouse-Oliver, our Secretary of State in New Mexico, we encourage you to call right now. She's with us until 2 o'clock today, but the sooner you call, the better, because sometimes we do run out of time and we're not able to get to every question. So call us at 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. And, on our email questions, Maggie, we've been getting some folks who are kind of confused about what's happening. You mentioned at the top of the show that the state Supreme Court refused the request of not only your office, but of the clerks across New Mexico to have a fully mail-in election. But what they did was they ordered the state to send applications for absentee ballots to every voter. And we had some people who emailed who seemed to be confused. I'm going to get this twice. Why am I getting two pieces of mail? But that's simply with that system. That's how that would work, I suppose, that you would apply for an absentee ballot and then you would get that ballot in the mail. Now, you can, though, as we mentioned earlier, go to nmvote.org, request the ballot online, and then you can skip that step of filling out the application on paper, right?
That's right. So, it is a good point. And the request that we made to the court was exactly to avoid the kind of confusion that these folks are expressing, right? Because in a vote by mail election, a voter would just automatically, if you're a registered voter with one of the major parties for the primary, you would have just automatically gotten a ballot in the mail. You wouldn't have had to go through the additional step of requesting the ballot. But the court did find that, of course, there's no legal prohibition from sending the application itself out to everybody. So that's what we've done. But just to be clear, Fred, and you said this very articulately, but I just want to amplify what you said. You can either apply for your absentee ballot by going online to the nmvote.org portal. That is one way that you can apply for your ballot. And if you're one of the 70,000+ folks that's already done so, those ballots are going to go into the mail starting next Tuesday. So you should expect to see your ballot sometime later next week if you've already done that online application, or if you do that now before in the next few days. Or if you get the paper application in the mail that we are sending to every registered major party voter, you can fill that application out, put it back in the mail, free postage paid. You're not going to have to put stamps on that. It will go to your county clerk's office. They will process it and then put your ballot in the mail. Whichever way you choose to go is perfect. It's completely your choice. If you do decide to use the online portal, that just saves you an extra step of having to fill out a piece of paper and put it in the mail.
Okay, great information. And there, as you say, there was some confusion on this. I was surprised, but initially there was great confusion on it. And I think people now are kind of wrapping their heads around what's happening. If you have a question for Maggie Toulouse-Oliver, call us now. She is our Secretary of State in New Mexico, 575-646-2212. And Chance has been holding patiently. Chance, your question.
Yes, Ms. Oliver. By the way, thank you for the our state. My question is, how can we be sure, and I've never voted absentee, so I'm ignorant on the subject and asking, how can we be sure that the person whose name is on the ballot is the person who is voting with that ballot if it's sent in the mail?
Okay. Maggie, your thoughts on that?
Thanks for the question, Chance, and thank you for being so kind. So when you receive your absentee ballot in the mail, it is addressed to you. And the statute requires that you and only you, of course, are the person to vote that ballot and to return it. However, in order to safeguard that process and make sure that it is coming back from you, one thing that I really want to emphasize for folks, and this is really important, when you return your absentee ballot in the mail, there is a form on the outside of the ballot, and it's going to require you to put in some personal private identification information. It's going to require you to put your date of birth. It's going to require you to put your address where you're registered to vote, and it requires your signature as registered. Those pieces of personal private identifier information are what the county clerk and the absentee board are going to use to verify that the ballot came back from you, and to make sure that, you know, there's no shenanigans. So that's really important. And one of the challenges that the clerk will have is if it doesn't have all of that information, you know, then some tough decisions have to get made about whether or not that ballot can be counted. So we just really encourage everyone, make sure you're completing, dotting every I, crossing every T, checking every box. Do not leave anything blank when you return that ballot.
So important. And, of course, if there ever was a challenge, you do have that signature in order to be able to look at the ballot. We also should emphasize that while Chance is in the same boat as many people, myself included, who normally vote in person. They're not used to voting by mail. This is not a new idea in any sense of the word. In the last two federal elections, roughly one out of every four Americans cast a ballot by mail. And in five states, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, and Washington, mail balloting is the primary method of voting. And there have been exhaustive studies done to show that it is safe and fair, and the rate of fraud is absolutely infinitesimal, I guess is the word. Tiny.
Yeah.
It's just, in fact, you probably saw this, Maggie. There was a study done by an organization in the media where they looked at mail-in balloting over a very long period of time and found that it was more likely you'd be struck by lightning than to have fraud in terms of the balloting system. A tiny, tiny percentage of fraud in this type of voting.
That's absolutely right, Fred. And I just love the point that you made about how we have quite a number of states that are already conducting all of their elections by mail. Colorado, I really love what they do there, just up north of us. Every voter gets a ballot in the mail, but then the voter gets to choose how they return that ballot. They can put it back in the mail, of course, or drop it off at any one of a number of secure drop boxes throughout the state, or you can go to a polling place and vote, you know, use a voting booth and put that ballot into a tabulator. So what's really great about that model is that it really emphasizes that the voter can do, you know, have vote how they choose to vote, but it ensures that every voter gets that ballot in the mail in the first place.
Absolutely. Maggie Toulouse-Oliver is our guest, New Mexico's Secretary of State. You can call us now with questions for Maggie at 575-646-2212. Tara has been patiently waiting. Hi, Tara, your question. Tara, you're on. Your question?
Is there a chance that he heard Tara rather than Carol?
Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah. If you're not able to get on, and I've been using every browser known to humankind, well, there may be a few, I don't know. how else can you get an absentee ballot with, you know, if I can't get online?
Great question. So thank you, Carol. As I mentioned, first and foremost, every registered Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian in the state will begin receiving absentee ballot applications in the mail as early as today. You should start seeing them in your mailbox if you want to wait to get that application in the mail. And, of course, provided that you are still living at the address that you are registered to vote at. However, if it never shows up, if you are, you know, if you've actually moved since you last updated your voter registration, something like that, simply call your county clerk's office. They will put an application, a paper application, in the mail to you to fill out and return, and they are happy to do that.
Okay. Carol, thank you so much for that question, and sorry about getting the name wrong. We would love to hear from you, 575-646-2212, with your questions for New Mexico Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse-Oliver. You know, Maggie, we had another question come in by email from Gene in Las Cruces, and here's what Gene wrote. Gene said, I asked you, and that's you, Maggie, I asked you a question at a forum in Las Cruces before you were first elected about getting New Mexico vote by mail. You said that you would be pursuing this. Tell me what you've done to bring vote by mail to New Mexico since then. That would have avoided what we have going on right now. Although we should point out, you can vote by mail in New Mexico under current law with absentee ballots. But she's asking specifically about the system we talked about that five states use, where vote by mail is the primary system. Tell us about your thoughts on her question there.
Right, and I Jean asks a really good question. So we have made some advances towards moving to a vote-by-mail system here, a pure vote-by-mail system right here in New Mexico. And for example, last year we enacted a piece of legislation, last year meaning 2019, we enacted a piece of legislation called House Bill 407. House Bill 407 did a number of things, and among them, it requires that any special election being conducted in the state of New Mexico is 100%. Every special election has to be conducted by mail.
Yeah, we had one of those in Las Cruces. I was going to say this, that I actually, that's one of the times that I did vote by mail, was we had that special election.
Yeah, you sure did. And in fact, every county in the state since that piece of legislation was enacted has conducted at least one vote by mail special election. First and foremost, we have that in place for those elections. And in fact, Fred and Jean, when we went and petitioned the Supreme Court to allow us to use that process for the primary this year, the argument that we were making is that we already have this provision in the election code for those kinds of elections. And so we were saying, look, Supreme Court, you're not going to have to write any new laws. You're not going to have to legislate from the bench. This process has already been established under these particular conditions. We're just asking for the permission to apply it in this, you know, completely unique environment. Again, they said, we don't have the authority to let you do that. But We are making slow, steady progress. The other thing I want to say about this is we're starting the process this summer of installing secure mail ballot drop boxes all over the state. It'll be a first wave of these drop boxes where now people who receive a ballot in the mail will be just able to sort of drive up and drop it in a big steel container that can't be tampered with, that's video monitored. And part of that is for kind of looking toward the future of increasing vote by mail as well.
Okay, thanks for that. And we do have a lot of folks holding now with questions. We're going to begin with Lorna. Lorna, your question.
Hi, Maggie. This is Lorna from Silver City, New Mexico. And I may be, have been a little premature in requesting my voting ballot. I sent a request for a ballot for the primary with a stamp to the Silver City, to the Grant County clerk. And after some time, the court case was decided, and I have since tried to find out. I don't use the email. Whether I needed to get a one of those applications for an absentee ballot, or whether I would directly get a ballot in the mail, and
okay.
When I called, okay.
Okay, let's have Maggie answer that question. Maggie, again, that's one that's come up before. Let's emphasize this to people how this works.
Sure. Hi, Lorna. Thanks for your question. And you're good. You got your application into the Grant County clerk. She's got it there. She's going to process it. And I think the thing that's a little tricky is that, you know, it takes a while by statute. The clerk can't start putting those ballots in the mail until next Tuesday. So anybody that's applied for a ballot up to this point, the clerk has been slowly and steadily processing those, getting them entered into the system, and they're starting to get those ballots ready to go out in the mail. But she can't put it in the mail until Tuesday the 5th. So wait a little bit longer. You should get your ballot in the mail. You know, I do want to just emphasize for folks, though, you know we have listeners on here that are, you know, just not fans of the internet or don't have it at home, you can always call your county clerk's office or the Secretary of State's office and ask us to check on the status for you. I mentioned that tracking feature on nmvote.org where you can track your application and your ballot, make sure it's been received and sent and all of that. But if you are not able to do that, you can always just call your clerk or our office, and we can tell you where things stand. We can tell you if the clerk has gotten your application, if he or she has mailed you a ballot, et cetera.
So I'm so glad you mentioned
high-tech and low-tech ways to do this.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned the tracking system, Maggie, and going being able, after folks actually mail their ballot in, that they can go to nmvote.org and find the link to track this to make sure that the ballot has been processed, because on our Facebook page, Jamie asked that question, what happened, you know, how can you guarantee that my ballot won't get lost? And,
right.
You know, you'll know if you go and do the tracking, if you don't see that it's been processed, you still have then the ability to go ahead and vote. And as you mentioned, you can vote then in person if for some reason your mail-in ballot was not processed. I'm sure that is extraordinarily rare for such a thing to occur, though. Carrie is waiting. She has been waiting on the line. Carrie, your question.
Hi, Fred and Maggie.
Hi, I know who this Carrie is. Carrie Hamblin. I recognize your voice immediately.
Well, thank you. And I really am grateful for all the shows that CareWG has been doing to really help increase awareness about COVID and about elections. And it's something that it's weighed heavily on people's minds. Maggie, I want to thank you and Amanda Lopez-Askin and Lindsay Bachman and all of the county clerks around the state who are working so hard to make sure this process is as close to flawless as possible. The question I have for you is, what is the process once we return our mail-in ballot? And I'm encouraging people to do absentee ballot because it's just absolutely ridiculous that our state Supreme Court is putting people's health at risk instead of allowing for mail-in ballots. But the question is, what is the process once we know that our ballot is returned? Do you start tabulating those on June 2nd, or is that process starting earlier? How can you explain that process for me?
Well, hello, my friend Carrie. It's nice to hear your voice, and I'm happy to answer that question for you and anybody else who might be interested. So the way it works is, of course, the county clerk will begin, receiving those ballots back in the mail on a daily basis as they start coming back. I should mention you can also drop your ballot at any in-person polling place or at the clerk's office. So another, another option out there for folks who are worried about the mail is if you don't want to put it back in the mail, you don't have to. You can, again, drop it at an early voting site, an election day site, or at your county clerk's office directly. What they'll do is now, again, thanks to that same piece of legislation that I mentioned earlier, House Bill 407 from 2019, county clerks can begin the process of opening and sorting and getting the ballots ready to be counted up to 14 days before Election Day. And, of course, we are going to be encouraging all the county clerks to use as much of that time as possible so that they are not, rushed to get their results processed and we're not waiting a long time on election night. As well, they can begin feeding those ballots through a tabulator. Now, that doesn't mean we'll know any results. It's the same as if you go to the polling place and put your ballot in the tabulator along with all the other voters. It'll get counted by the machine, but we won't know results. And that process can start up to 5 days before the election so that ideally every county clerk has gotten through every single ballot that they've received by a late point in the day on election day and can put those results out right away and then add, of course, any ballots that come in the last wave of mail delivery or at the polling places, add those to the results after the fact.
And I assume that those periods of time, 14 days you mentioned and then 5 days, those are set by law?
That's correct. Those have been set by law in statute, and county clerk doesn't have to start the process that early. But we are encouraging clerks to start as early as they can because we do know that hopefully most voters are going to opt to vote safely from their homes and vote absentee in this election.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be certainly a lot more absentee ballots than we see normally in the state of New Mexico. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, so if you have a question, it's a great time to call now, 575-646-2212. Our guest is New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse-Oliver. He's been waiting patiently, and we want to get to his question. Michael is on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hello, thank you. I just want to also make a comment. I'm so grateful to live in New Mexico. The way we are handling both our voting and the health crisis is just so much better than some of the states around us.
Well, it's
agreed.
Yes, it's reassuring, isn't it? So what do you have a question for Maggie, Michael?
Yes, that was just my comment.
Okay,
but
yes.
My question is, I'm going to move from Doña Ana County to Taos County. I came down here about 2 years ago, and I'm moving back up there. The deadline to change my registration for the primary has already passed. Is that right?
Actually, it's coming up this Tuesday, May 5th. And are you going to be moving before that or after that date?
Well, I won't physically be in Taos County. I'll call the county clerk up there. Would I have to physically be there to register to vote in the primary in Taos?
So you know what you can do, Michael, this is actually really awesome, is we also now have same-day voter registration in New Mexico. And even though for the primary it won't allow you to change to a different party, If you're moving, you can go to your county clerk's office in Taos County, Anna Martinez up there, and you can register. You can update your voter registration to the Taos County address right there on the spot and then vote in Taos County if that's what you choose to do. That is absolutely an option available for you. However, if you don't want to do that, and if you want to wait until after the primary to get yourself registered, you can request that your Doña Ana County absentee ballot be mailed up to you in Taos. You can always request to have that ballot mailed to wherever you are, whether it's somewhere in the state of New Mexico or somewhere across the ocean. So you have those two options available to you.
So can I – so there are two different things. One is getting your absentee ballot mailed to you, and that's applicable for both the primary and the general. And the other is changing my registration from one district or county to another. And I guess I'm wondering, can I change my registration from down here in Doña Ana County? Cause, and you say the deadline's Tuesday. I won't be in Taos County probably until a week after that. Will I
right,
just have to stick with Doña Ana for the primary?
So, again, you know, that's really your choice. But as I mentioned, you can do a same-day voter registration update in Taos once you get there. All you have to do is go into the clerk's office over there. You can update your voter registration to the Taos address and get your ballot and vote right then.
But that's something that has to be done in person.
Unfortunately, yes, if you want to do that same-day option, that's correct.
Yeah, there's so many offices that are closed, like I'm still waiting to register my car because they're not open. Yeah.
Well, the county clerk's offices are all open for this election, so just so you know that.
Okay.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Michael, thank you very much, Michael, for your call. Again, our number to call for questions for Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse-Oliver is 575-646-2212. Joining us now on the line is Ian. Ian, your question.
Yes. I went to vote at the county clerk's office in the last election. I'm in Deming, by the way. And I am a mostly blind person, about 80%. And I needed somebody to fill out the ballot for me. I couldn't see, you know, to cast my vote. And it seemed to, I was confronting the office with a problem that they hadn't had before. So I was wondering.
But you were able to get help.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is such a good point. I'm so glad this question came up, Maggie, because, you know, that this is why even with the mail-in system, as we mentioned earlier, five states have a mail-in voting as their primary voting. And most people vote by mail in those states. Even with a system like that, you always have exceptions. And this is a great example where someone needs assistance. And that's why the bill in Congress right now being advanced by Democrats, unfortunately, with little success so far, Republicans are not embracing the idea, would provide funding to every state not only to have mail-in elections, but also to have early voting so that for folks who need to vote in person, they are able to do so.
Right. And so as the gentleman mentioned, not only can he get the assistance of an individual at a polling place, we also have these really fancy what we call our ADA compliant marking devices, where a voter can independently mark their ballot even if they have visual impairment at the polling place. The machine basically talks to you and tells you what you need to do, tells you what buttons you need to push, et cetera, to cast your ballot independently. And if those two things aren't enough for you, we even have here in New Mexico the ability for visually impaired voters, when you go online to that nmvote.org portal that we've been talking about and you request an absentee ballot, there is an option that you can click If you are a voter with visual impairment, to say I want a visually impaired ballot, and we will email you securely that ballot. You can mark it from home using your own software on your computer, if you have such a thing, print it out and mail it back to your county clerk.
Wow.
So we have so many options available to allow our visually impaired voters to vote independently and in the manner that they choose.
That is great. Ian, did you have any other thoughts you wanted to share before we have to move on? Okay, I think Ian has dropped that, but we do have another caller waiting, Maggie. Great to hear those options for folks who are visually impaired. Steve has been patiently waiting. Yes, Steve,
hello.
Your question.
Hello, yes. I'm just curious, on the primary mail-in ballot, is there an option for putting a write-in candidate in?
Great question. There are some declared write-in candidates up and down the ballot in counties all over New Mexico. What they had to do, those individuals had to file to be a write-in candidate, which means their name's not going to appear on the ballot, but there will be a space available for them. So just to be clear, there isn't a write-in option for every single race. Only if a declared write-in candidate has filed for that position. But whether you're voting absentee or whether you're voting in person, that option, it'll be you'll see the list of candidates, and then you'll see a blank line that says declared write-in candidate, and you can write in the name of that candidate for that race no matter how you vote.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much for that question. Just got about 10 minutes left, so if you have a question, you do need to call now, 575-646-2212. Our guest is Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse-Oliver. And Maggie, we had a question on Facebook from Connie. She says she understands that in Doñana County, there will be fewer in-person voting sites. Can you speak to that decision?
Sure. So, you know, unfortunately, when the Supreme Court, you know, was not able to rule to allow us to do a mail-in voting system, you know, county clerks had to start making some tough decisions. So while on the one hand, my office and our county clerks are encouraging everybody possible to vote absentee, they're also looking at, you know, how are we going to manage all of these polling locations? And importantly, how are we going to hire and how are we going to protect the poll officials that are going to be working at these locations day in and day out for early voting and a very long day on election day. And so they are making some very calculated decisions about strategically reducing the number of polling locations like they are doing in Doñana County. I believe Doñana County is going down to 6 voting convenience centers for election day. So that they can sort of limit the number of people that they have to hire, and also banking on the notion that more people are going to vote absentee in this election than in person. So these are all, you know, difficult decisions, difficult calculations, but they're trying their best to make these logical decisions to keep people safe.
So, you know, Maggie, I'm glad we had a few minutes left here at the end of the show, because while we're talking a lot about the primary election that's coming up in June, I need, and I think it's so critical, it's why we're doing this topic for a second week in a row, to get your comments on the fact that there has not been action in Congress on this bill that is really geared toward November, providing funding to every state in the country in order to allow every state to offer both mail-in voting and also to offer early voting, so that we don't have a situation like Wisconsin where there were a lot of mail-in votes, but then they dramatically reduced the number of polling places, and there were lines that were 2 hours or more long. There also have been officials saying that people, they believe that several people contracted coronavirus while voting in Wisconsin.
Right.
This, you know, I know this is months away, but I can't say enough about the importance of talking about this issue, because we have just come off of a presidential election in 2016 that was compromised by Russia. And so we already have a lot of people who are doubting our elections, which means that it puts democracy itself at risk. And now we have a situation in November where we have the ability, but only if we take action quickly, we have the ability to prevent a self-imposed problem. And I need to hear your thoughts on this, because I just can't even imagine such a thing where we would go through another presidential election where, and in this case, it would be self-imposed, where preparations were not made to try to avoid a problem.
Well, Fred, I'm really glad you brought this up. It's incredibly important that we continue to move our democracy forward and let the wheels of our democracy turn unabated. And it's really important. I view probably my most critical role as the chief elections officer here in New Mexico as working hard not only to ensure the integrity of our election process, but to let folks know that our election process does have integrity, and that the only way we can truly negatively impact that integrity is by not participating in the process. You know, democracy is a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we have more and greater participation, then our democracy works at its best. When folks, as you say, choose to self-select out of the process due to doubt, that sort of, you know, guarantees that the folks who are working against us, or the invisible enemy in this case, right, end up winning. So here's what I would say to anybody who has doubts or concerns about our election process. Not only listening to and calling into shows like this, where we can explain all of the protections and the processes and the tools and resources that we have in place to ensure that our systems are protected and to ensure that the election process is fair and accurate. We can talk about those things, but here's the other great thing, is that our democracy and our system of elections is also transparent and participatory. Every single polling place in the state has the ability for watchers and observers and challengers to be a part of the process, to put independent eyes on the process. Every absentee ballot precinct where those ballots are being counted will be open to those observers as well. The canvas of the elections, where the final results are tallied, is a public and open process, and those results are available to anybody. And so what I would encourage folks to do, if you ever have doubts or questions, not only to call our offices or to email us, but to take part in the process as a poll worker, a watcher, or a challenger, and get that information with your own eyes.
Yeah, and I appreciate your answer, and in that answer earlier, mentioning that more voting is better, that if more people vote, this strengthens our democracy. And I bring this up because, as I'm sure you're aware, when asked about the bill in Congress that would provide funding to every state in the country to offer mail-in balloting and also to offer early voting so that every state could have this, when asked about this on Fox, here's what President Donald Trump had to say.
They had things, levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again.
So I want to get your reaction to that. Again, his answer, we got to be very specific here. His answer is he's talking about levels of voting. So we could interpret that to mean the number of people who vote, levels of voting. When asked about providing funding to states to offer mail-in balloting, to offer early voting, and talking about it in a sense in a partisan way, what's your reaction to that?
I think it really makes me sad whenever folks try to bring, you know, partisan arguments into a discussion about increasing voter participation. As Americans, we should want every single eligible citizen to be able to cast a ballot and to do that easily and without hurdles to the ballot box. I also think it's not true. Well, I know it's not true for a fact because the data show that mail, vote-by-mail elections do not influence the outcome toward one party or the other. And I'll give you a perfect example. My colleague Ken Wyman is the Secretary of State of Washington. She has been elected and reelected overwhelmingly by the people of that state. They run 100% all-mail elections, and she is the biggest champion in the country of all-mail elections. And guess what, Fred? She's a Republican. So this is really not a process that has benefit to one party or the other. It only benefits the voter.
And it benefits democracy. Let's be very clear.
That's right.
Because if people don't believe in our elections, it threatens our democracy. And that's why we cannot emphasize this enough. This is an absolutely essential thing for people to talk about. I'm not advancing a particular solution here, but I'm saying that offering the chance for everyone to vote and not to be afraid to do so in the middle of a pandemic is essential. Maggie Toulouse-Oliver is our Secretary of State in New Mexico. What a delight to have you today, and we appreciate you so much taking this time to talk to our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fred. I really appreciate it.
Such a great service. Maggie Toulouse-Oliver, our Secretary of State, we thank her for taking time out for you. We thank all of you for participating in this show today. And we do want to remind you to vote, and we want to remind you to register to vote. You can do that at nmvote.org. Broadcasting from New Mexico State University, KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City, Intermezzo by request after NPR News.